Nitrogen is on its way to the Gulf of Mexico, and some of it is coming from Indiana. The nutrients headed there now will be the same ones responsible for a large dead zone this summer. Dead zones are large areas that lack oxygen, making it difficult for aquatic life to survive. As WFIU's J.D. Gray reports, officials searching for a solution are focusing their efforts on the shores of the Wabash.
A large green piece of farming equipment is parked on Ray McCormick's farm. It's holding a pile of dirt with a sign that reads, "Cover crops, healthy soil, and clean water." It's promoting soil health practices, and that clean water could have an impact downstream, all the way in the Gulf of Mexico. This is how Adam Ward explains it to me. He's an assistant professor in environmental science at Indiana University.
Every year in the summer, we develop what's called a hypoxic zone, or more commonly called a dead zone. This is a location where marine organisms, fish, essentially can't exist because there's no oxygen left in the water column. Hence, a dead zone.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the 2015 area was about the size of Connecticut and Rhode Island combined.
The causes of this dead zone, why it's forming, where the nutrients are coming from, there's really no question. They're coming from here in Indiana, from Illinois, from Iowa. The Corn Belt is the number one source of these pollutants to the Gulf.
The nutrients are the ones used in farming, nitrogen and phosphorus. Ward says rainfall carries them off the farmland until it eventually ends up in the Gulf of Mexico, where the dead zone forms. The nutrients can lead to rapid algae growth. When the algae dies and decomposes, it takes oxygen from the water. And with no oxygen, fish and other aquatic life cannot survive.
So the question is, how do you maintain your food supply and your energy supply without this environmental impact?
Standing on the top of a cliff that overlooks the Wabash River, Brad Smith explains that the Indiana chapter of the Nature Conservancy originally became involved with work on the river because of the biodiversity present in the waterway. Smith is the Lower Wabash and Wetlands Program Director.
With aquatic species, they live in the river systems. We can't go out and acquire the water and the river itself in the same way that we would with land.
Smith says conservation practices have to be implemented on the shore, and he points to three things farmers can do to improve their soil health. One is the use of cover crops. Here is how Professor Ward explains it.
The idea of cover crops is that we're planting something else on the soil after harvest. Those are using water and using nutrients rather than having them flushed out of the soil column.
Smith also says soil health can be promoted by implementing a no-till farming practice. This limits how much the soil is disturbed, and by managing nutrients, using a plan for nutrient additions to farmland. This takes us back to Ray McCormick. He's a farmer and a conservationist. He owns McCormick Farms and has about 4,000 acres, including wetlands and a peach orchard, along with corn and soybean fields.
You know, our soils and our land is just like our own body. Water's good. Too much water is not good.
McCormick practices all of the soil health practices Smith recommends.
We do a whole sweep of practices that help enhance the value of those nutrients on our farms, and that lends to profitability. It's actually about growing bigger crops and bigger yields using less nutrients.
Bigger crops using fewer nutrients. But still, it can be difficult to convince farmers to change their practices.
If you've been farming a certain way for three generations, it's hard for me to come in there and say, you need to change everything and try it a different way.
Ward says that if we stopped using fertilizer today, we would probably still have a dead zone because of the legacy of nutrients released in the waterways. But
the only way we're going to solve this problem is by improving our management of nutrients here in the upper Midwest.
It's a problem that's bigger than just one body of water. Nutrient runoff is also an issue in the Great Lakes. For WFIU News, I'm J.D. Gray.